This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Brian Rolapp. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Brian is president of NFL Network. And so let's talk about the NFL. Then let's talk a lot about digital and what's happening, because everyone wants to know that. We may even talk fantasy football too.
Okay, sure.
So let's talk about the NFL as a brand, 100th year now. Mm-hmm. How is the NFL different than different competitors, NBA, MLB, soccer globally?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's different in a lot of ways from those sports, especially the NBA or Major League Baseball. I think one thing that's different is constantly the data will tell you that people in America have their favorite sport is NFL football. Their second favorite sport is college football. So the role that football plays in this country is much different, I think, than all the other sports. And that translates to the number of fans that we have. We have about 180 million people in this country who count themselves as NFL fans. Now, some are more avid, some are less avid, but they all count themselves as NFL fans. And when you're that big, you look like America. You look like America socioeconomically. People are different. Racially, they're different. Politically, they're different, but the one thing they have in common is their love for NFL football, and it's one of the last things in this country, in my opinion, that can unite that many people in a common passion. Those just don't really exist anymore, and that alone, I think, is what our brand is about and what NFL football represents for people.
And if you look at something like the NBA, more of players are getting aligned, and there's a little bit of a shift over in that direction. What's your take on the direction the NFL is going?
Yeah, I think, we can't have a sport, we can't have a business, we can't have anything without our players. They're great. And I think, in my opinion, the most well-rounded, outstanding athletes on the planet. And what they do every weekend is quite amazing. And so they're really important. And they're increasingly using their platform to do things that they care about, which we love, that they get involved in their communities. When you add the advent of social media, where now you can see these guys, where they spend most of their Sundays behind helmets, but now you get to know them and they can communicate directly with fans, I think across all sports, that is creating more of an athlete empowerment than I think we've ever seen in the history of sports, which is not a bad thing, which is a great thing. Clearly, they're making more money than they ever had before, which is great. They're being compensated for the unique talent that they have. And so I think athlete empowerment to do what they want with their platform is a really good thing. And I think you see that across all sports.
And how about the economics of how the NFL works? You know, now a lot of focus is on actually fan experience and how they're changing with digital, everything there. And with your core, which is TV and then digital, yeah. How does that all work?
Well, I think there are two parts to your question. The first is about how the economic system works in the NFL, which I think is not only unique among sports, but is one of the greatest reasons why the NFL has been so successful for as long as it has. And that is that we have an economic system that is combined two important elements. One, equally shared revenue. So the most of our revenue that we generate as a league is equally shared among 32 teams. That combined with a salary cap that is collectively bargained with our players. And so what that does is that allows for competitive parity. So when you have salaries capped, although high, right, very high, they're capped, the New York Giants will spend the same amount of money on players as the Green Bay Packers. And if the Green Bay Packers, or if the New York Giants, I should say, beat the Green Bay Packers, it's not because they're in a bigger market and they have more resources and they can pay players more. It's because they've allocated the same number of dollars better than the Green Bay Packers. So that creates an incredibly...
That's a really interesting point that I bet a lot of people didn't realize about this.
It is, and I think it's why you can have a market the size of Green Bay, which I think has maybe 200,000 people in it, consistently win in the league over teams that have, 10 times that population. So market size doesn't matter. That's not true in international soccer and some other places. And I think you see most sports leagues trying to move towards that model as much as they can. So I think the economic system leads to competitive parity, which means the product is fabulous. And that's really what it's about. And we have typically teams who finish last in their division go to the playoffs the next year. And that's why it's so hard to predict who's going to win.
I'm a Jets fan, so I've yet to see that.
They were in a couple of AFC championships not too long ago. So they're but they've had their years. But it also shows why what New England does is so impressive.
Because that's what I wonder. What is New England then doing different? Is it really just Belichick is smarter than other people?
Well, I looked at the
Brady is that good as 42.
I think it's all of it. Like, you know, I think if I knew the answer to that question, I wouldn't be sitting here. I'd probably have a different job. And I think a lot of people ask those questions. But you know, the Crafts run an unbelievable organization. Bill Belichick's obviously a very brilliant coach, and somehow they have figured out a system that seems to work, where they have been competitive for two decades. And that in the salary cap era, that is supposed to not happen very often, and they've done it well. So I think that's unique. But the second part of your question was about our media revenue, which is the bulk of our revenue. So we make most of our money, which obviously is equally shared, from television and media. And really, I think our media strategy is one of the reasons the NFL has been successful, is because our media strategy today, quite frankly, is not that different than what Pete Rozelle came up with in the early 60s, which was use the dominant media platform of the day to reach as many households as you can for as long as you can. And back then, it was television. And for a long time, it has been television. Television is still pretty dominant. But now that reach is more complicated, because as digital has come and technology is driven, it has fragmented audiences, and it's harder to reach people for long durations of time. And I think anybody in the media business, especially the live events business, is figuring out how you replicate that and how you reach those people. And so we spend a lot of time thinking about how we distribute not only our live games digitally, but also how we distribute all of our content outside of games, whether during the week or in the off season, using digital platforms. And that's only going to increase. It just has to.
How about things like Red Zone?
Red Zone is, Red Zone is a great example of when we look at our media strategy. When you have 180 million fans, they all have different levels of avidity. I can watch games from 1 o'clock to 11 o'clock on a Sunday. My wife won't. But she will watch the biggest game, right? So she is very interested in football, but she's not as avid as I am. And what we try to do is to make sure that there is football available for everybody all the way up that avidity curve. So if there's somebody like me, I can watch every game. I can buy Sunday ticket to get all the other games. I can get the Red Zone channel, which is great. If it's someone like my wife, we just make sure that there's always games over free, over-the-air television for her to watch. And Red Zone, I think, fits more up that avidity curve. I think a lot of people, when they see Red Zone, think this is the only way to watch football. The reality is we only have about, on a given Sunday, around 1 million people watching the Red Zone channel. And for comparison, on a 1 o'clock game, we'll probably have 10 times that nationwide. So it's still a small part of our fan base, but the people who watch it love it because they can't get enough.
And you, when you look at digital, you've done a lot of partnerships also, mm-hmm. like you've done with Verizon, with Comcast. Talk about the different partnerships.
Yeah, I think that these sports leagues, while we have a television network, we have a digital arm, we really can't grow the sport or grow the business without partners. And so partners have been extremely important for us over the years. And so we have, when it comes to the media space, we have the best-in-class television partners. And I think that's one of the secrets of our success, is we're not in business with one media company. We're in business with a bunch of them. So NBC...
That's by design.
That's by design. NBC has a package. CBS has a package. Fox has a package. ESPN has a package. Our own network that we own has a package. And we want as many media companies talking about the NFL as possible. At the same time, we have new partners. Amazon distributes Thursday Night Football as well. We have increasing partnerships with Instagram, Snapchat. We're the highest performing content on Snapchat, YouTube. And so what we realize is in this whole media strategy, you need to reach everybody. Television is just not going to reach everybody like it did 10, 15 years ago, and won't necessarily increase in the future. So you need to have partnerships with people who can reach those people you can't. And that's increasingly digital platforms, and that's increasingly social platforms.
1 minute before break, yeah. What don't people know about the economics of digital?
I think what they don't know about the economics of digital is that it's not the same as the economics is of the traditional media industry. I think it's easy to say that the only economics driving some of these digital players is advertising, when in reality, they're creating other much more complex businesses. Amazon is going to be as big as the media company as anybody. They are clearly in multiple lines of businesses, whether that's subscriptions to Amazon Prime, whether that's selling new merchandise, whether that's their cloud business. There's different ways where they make money. And so what the NFL does well is helps you make money on advertising, but also helps you make money in other parts of your business. And so as we move to those digital platforms, that'll be interesting to watch.
We're about to take a break. When we come back with Brian Rolapp, we are going to find out what is the big one. Is it Thursday night football, Monday night football, 4 p.m., 1 p.m.? Back in a few.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We can all agree these are troubled times, right? So do you know who's on your wireless network? Whether it's a big company selling your data or a foreign hacker, if you're not protected, everybody sees your information. That's why you need Flash Routers, a custom Wi-Fi router created for privacy. Flash Routers uses a virtual private network, or VPN, to protect your online activity from hackers, trackers, and large corporations. And not just one, but all your devices with one out-of-the-box setup. Plus, Flash Routers also enhances your wireless network performance and unlocks powerful router management tools to let you take total control of your network. Call or click Flash Routers today at 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. That's 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. Protect your wireless home network today with Flash Routers.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. Exclusions apply.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text DO11 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over 1 million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text DO11 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's DO11 to 350350.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, this is Robert Greece on the CEO Show, and we're with Brian Rolapp, who is the president of NFL Network. So, curiosity, what is the big one? Is it Thursday night football? Is it what? Is it Monday, Sunday? What's the best time?
Well, the most viewed game every week is the 4:25 national game on either CBS or Fox. That is the most viewed football game we have. The second most viewed football game is Sunday night. Now, a lot of people think Sunday night is the most highly viewed, and it is very highly viewed. But that 4:25 game is still the biggest, and so when we make the schedule, we keep that in mind. So
that's why, as a Jets fan, we're always on at one.
Well, yeah, a lot of people can. The more they win, they will play their way on to 4:25, or they'll play their way on to.
But which is bigger? Monday is the next biggest, or is it Thursday?
The next biggest is Thursday.
Thursday is bigger than Monday.
Yeah. So the number one show on television is the 4:25 game. The number one primetime show on television is Sunday Night Football. The number two primetime show on television is Thursday Night Football. And Thursday Night Football started as a small cable package in 2006 on the NFL Network. In just 13 years, we've grown it to the second highly primetime programming you can have, because we always felt Thursday could be a football night. And we really built that over a decade.
Yeah, and so let's talk. You also have Sunday morning now because, you know, mm-hmm. when you go to England or something. What's your take on how you're expanding internationally, Mexico, England, other places?
Well, it's a lot of, we put a lot of time and investment in that. I think, you know, football is not of a popular sport internationally as it is domestically, and so that takes a lot more work and investment. And I would say we probably have more of a multinational strategy than an international strategy. And what I mean by that is we're really concentrating on a few core markets. That's the UK, that's Canada, that's Mexico, that's Germany. And so we really, in some extent, Japan.
Not Japan. Oh,
to some extent, Japan, yeah. But we invest quite a bit. And what we realized a few years ago, sports fans around the world are sophisticated. They know the difference between the varsity and the JV. And what I mean by that, they know the difference between a regular season game and an exhibition game. And we made the decision, if we are going to grow the sport meaningfully, we are going to have to play our best product. So we started playing regular season games abroad consistently. So we play four games in London this year. In fact, we have a great partnership with Tottenham, who just built a new stadium, and we put money into that stadium to make sure it converts appropriately to American football. We played the others in Wembley. We played a game in Mexico, which we just played a week ago. And we played preseason games a little bit in Canada, but we've also played regular season games there too. So I guess the point is we're investing our best product because people know the difference, and it's paid dividends. I mean, you think of our viewership and our fan growth in Europe has been significantly. Mexico is a great market, growing not only economically but as far as the number of fans by leaps and bounds every year.
And what's the secret to growing fan base internationally? Is it digital? Is it certain teams? Is it followership?
It's a multivariable approach, but it's tough. If you think about some of the sports that are popular internationally, basketball has been an Olympic sport since 1950. They've been playing baseball in Japan since 1945, and so these are long-term sports who've been in those markets. And so how do you replicate that and do that? It takes a lot of investment. I think it takes the right media strategy. I think we try to replicate as much as we can the reach strategy that has built fans in this country into the other countries. So having the right broadcast partners, but that's also increasingly meant digital, where the same trends that you see in this country, where younger people and more people are consuming almost exclusively their content from digital platforms, you need to be there in a meaningful way if you want to build a fan base. Forget about the money, mm-hmm. but if you want to reach them and build a fan base, you kind of need to.
And it starts as money and then fan base, or is it fan base then money?
I think it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. I think it's fan base and then you build money. I think you see some of these new sports are trying to replicate the professional sports model by starting a new sport and then getting TV money, and that's not really how it works. And if you really look at the history of sports leagues, the NFL didn't really start making a ton of television money until the early 90s. And so that was when we had had, you know, decades and decades of building the sport and building the fan base.
Okay, let's look at what a lot of CEOs I know are big-time sports fans. And there's a lot of lessons people always say, well, move the ball forward, whatever it is, move the chains. What lesson, having worked for a lot of years in the NFL, and even prior to that, you know, when you were with NBC, you know, and then CIBC, you were working in the sports field. What would you say CEOs could learn from football that could help them in business?
It's really interesting. I think the one thing that makes the game of football so amazing is that it teaches lessons that are applicable to anything you do in life, and especially business. And I think if you see some of the more a lot of the successful CEOs in this country is they've played football, and you talk to them about how is football.
Actually, it's interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of them have.
They have. They really have. And they will tell you, you know, to be part of a football team, a competitive football team, it doesn't matter if that's high school or college or wherever it is it takes a tremendous amount of hard work. There is no substitute for hard work. Everybody hates football practice. I have never met anybody who loves football practice because it's hard, hard work. It requires, it's cliche, but it's true, it requires teamwork. That you have to get along with others, but at the same time you have to do your individual job. Football play breaks down if individuals don't do their individual job, yet they work as a team, which is really, really important. And I think that is a huge lesson. And so I think, you know, sacrifice and hard work and teamwork are things that people take away from football. But I also think from the business of the NFL, if you really break down our business, it really starts with a fabulous product.
You have about a minute left until we're done. So talk about the future of the NFL. And you said it's obviously everything's built around the fan or the customer experience, fan experience.
Yeah, I think our fans are amazing and are really what make the NFL go. And we ask a lot of them, right? We ask 3 hours of their time to watch a game. We ask them to come to a stadium. Tickets are increasingly expensive. And so we have a very fan-focused approach when we build stadiums. And if you think some of the stadium construction that you'll see in the next 10 years will be much different. They'll be much different in the type of amenities they have, how they use technology as 5G comes on board, which is really important. The value you get for a ticket, they'll probably be smaller than they've been, so you can actually provide more value. So I think you'll see a ton of innovation.
Self-editing, where people are.
Well, yeah. I think if you think about a stadium, this should be the best place to experience football. And you actually live in a world now where there's so much at your fingertips with mobile technology and the highlights we give you on Twitter and everything else that sometimes if a team is not that maybe 500 and it's cold out, you might be making that decision. Maybe I don't go to the stadium. Maybe I put my tickets on StubHub and sell. We can't have that. We've got to make sure that the stadium's the best place to go and best place to experience football. So the amount of investment we'll put into that over the next decade will be really important. And by the way, you only get one shot at this. You build a stadium and it's like good for 20 years and you spend billions of dollars. You got to get that right. So we'll spend a lot of time on that. But at the same time, the customer experience is only going to improve with technology. Between 5G and mobile technology and the rise of digital platforms, the way to get content around football will be much easier and much richer in the next 10 years than it was, I think, in the last 30 combined. And so we're approaching our television agreements, which end after the 21 and 22 season, and I think you will see as we reshuffle the deck and we negotiate new media agreements, I think you'll see them different in a lot of ways, not only in the partners we might have, but also in how we deliver football to the next generation of fans, I think will be as different as anything you've ever seen.
On that note, a pleasure having you on the CEO show, Brian.
Thanks.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Hello. Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Jennifer Fitzgerald. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm good. Thank you, Robert.
And Jennifer is the co-founder and CEO of Policy Genius, which is the nation's leading online marketplace for insurance. So we're going to talk about the fascinating journey of building Policy Genius to be a leader. But let's start off, what actually is Policy Genius?
Sure. So the easiest way to think about Policy Genius is like an online marketplace for insurance. So think of us like Expedia for insurance. You need life insurance, you need auto insurance, disability or health insurance. You can go to our site. We have all the top providers. You can easily search, compare quotes, and when you're ready to buy, you can buy.
Yeah, the website is, just so people know,
PolicyGenius.com.
Oh, we almost would have guessed that one. So what's really interesting, and you and I have talked before in the past, and you've been on CEO panels and stuff and have done a great job. You have a unique niche, and you're different than any other company in the market because you picked this one niche, and that seems to be really working for the customers and for you as well.
That's right. So we occupy a unique space in the market in that we're not an insurance company. We're a managed marketplace, meaning we are matching the insurance companies with potential buyers of insurance. And we don't hand those buyers off to the insurance company. We are with them every step of the way in the transaction. So helping with underwriting, making sure that their questions are answered, which does two things. One is it provides a really good customer experience in a category where customers just aren't familiar with it, right? They have no idea how to shop for insurance. They don't know what's a good rate. They don't know what the process
you
looks like.
You're completely holding their hand.
Holding their hand every step of the way. And it's also great for the insurance companies because then they get a very good customer who's informed, who's more likely to convert to a paying customer and more likely to hold on to their policy because they knew what they were getting into and feel confident that they made the right purchase.
And in addition to that component of the market, you're also unique in that you serve really, I'd say it's about the 30, 35-year-old marketplace, and you're the complete leader in that.
We are. So our core customer is somebody in their 30s, up until their 40s, mass affluent, and critically having those key life events that pull people into the market for financial services. So our sweet spot is that 35-year-old customer who just had typically baby number two, because baby number one was so overwhelming, they didn't get their act together financially.
Exactly.
But
and
baby number two.
And they didn't yet have to move out of their apartment.
Exactly.
But
so
now they have to.
Have to, you know, buying a home, had baby number two, and now have a whole checklist of things that they're working through. And the top of it is life insurance.
So how did you, it seems to me, if I was going to start, in retrospect, a life insurance company, I'd be like, that's where I want to start because they have every single need and they've never done anything and they want someone who's going to really be incredible in customer experience, right?
That's exactly right. And it seems in hindsight, you know, the logical choice. I think the difficulty is in the execution and figuring out what type of experience that they want. And what our, you know, secret sauce has been since the beginning is creating a hybrid digital and human experience, because what we found and what we always believed is that people want the experience to be digital and self-service up until the moment of truth where they actually have to pull the trigger on a purchase. And, you know, in the case of life insurance, for example, it's a 20 to 30 year contract that you're paying into and that you want to have faith that you made the right decision in case, you know, the unthinkable happens and your family has to make a claim on the policy. And at that point, you want validation from a human expert to say, yep, you're getting the right policy. You thought about it the right way. This is a reputable insurance company. So you
Or no,
you're not thinking about it the right way and you actually aren't getting enough coverage. And here's why. So it doesn't have to be a very labor-intensive human touch, but at the right moment, even that quick 10 to 15 minute validating conversation makes all the difference for these shoppers who are, you know, busy. They're juggling jobs and homes and kids, but they still want to make the right decision.
So talk about that model of combining bots with humans and digital with human and knowing how, because we, how's the right way? We have hundreds of thousands of CEOs listening in. They have their own companies and they're trying to say, how do we get that mix right? What advice do you have to them?
The advice is start with the customer, right? So what fundamentally you have to do is not presuppose a solution based on something else you've seen in the market or in another industry. You have to start with what the actual customer journey is. And that's what we did, right? So we walked potential customers through, talk me about the last time you bought insurance. What did you do? Who did you talk to? Where did you go to research? Did you end up buying? If so, why not? What did you wish the process was like, right? So we started with that to really understand the customer. And then what you can do is actually test a few different experiences, right? Something purely digital, purely human, and the hybrid where you insert the human at different pieces, again, to get more valid feedback on what's going to resonate and what's going to have the highest likelihood of moving that customer from step A to step B and then beyond. So if you always start with the customer and are always focused on solving the exact problem for that customer, that'll lead you to the right path.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we speak with the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Jennifer Fitzgerald, who is the co-founder and CEO of Policy Genius, which is the largest marketplace for insurance in America. So let's talk about the starting. So you've been working at McKinsey for a while, and it's 2014, and then all of a sudden you decide you're going to get a dog and you get Ruby, and then you decide, well, we're going to start a company. Now, little did you know it would be as big as it is now, but what was your thinking? And talk about the start and the lessons you learned in building a company like this. And this is just 5 years and you're already market leader.
Yeah. It's a leap of faith. So I was at McKinsey and worked with my co-founder there. That's where we met and started working together. And we served a lot of the big insurance companies in the U.S. and had a few light bulb moments that led us to figure out that this would be a meaningful opportunity to start a company. One was all the insurance companies were struggling with distribution in an increasingly digital world. So you and your listeners probably know that the main way that insurance has been distributed in America has been through the brick and mortar agent. They're not going anywhere, but that agent sales force is changing dramatically. So they're spending a lot more time upmarket with wealthier households. The agent sales force is getting older. The average age of an agent is 59 years old.
Which isn't a great connect with the 35.
Correct, right? And if you look at changing consumer preferences, that under 40 customer is used to doing everything online. So we saw all of that come together and present a pretty compelling opportunity. Now, we can always, you know, we spot opportunities every day, but the leap from opportunity to I'm going to quit my very nice job that I enjoyed to start a company, and I had zero entrepreneurial background. I hadn't even done a lemonade stand as a kid, so this was a very big leap for me, but we had enough conviction about the idea, the opportunity. We felt comfortable enough working with each other that we said, you know, worst case scenario, we go back to our day jobs. Let's give it a shot.
And how did it grow from two up to, you know?
Very painfully at first. So I think that the hardest spot was probably the early days, where the very first day after you quit your job, you wake up and you say, now what?
Right.
What do I do first? And we made some mistakes in those early days. I think we focused more on, you know, creating the pitch deck instead of what we should have focused on was creating a digital experience and product faster to get in the hands of customers. Because the key thing about starting something, especially a digital company, is you want to create your initial beta product. And it's going to be not perfect and it's going to be full of bugs, but you want it in the hands of prospective customers as fast as possible, right? Because at the end of the day, you're going to live and die by whether customers want to use your product or service. And so the faster you can get, you know, a good read from them, the better your chances of success are. So early days, it was scrapping together some initial funding. It was hiring the initial team. And it was trying to build a, you know, website and platform that we could launch as fast as possible to see if it would resonate with consumers.
Okay. Is there one sentence of advice you have for entrepreneurs, if there are any listening in? And you've got 30 seconds till break.
So my one piece of advice for entrepreneurs is make sure that whatever idea you're pursuing, you're passionate about, because it's going to be a slog. So you are going to be living, breathing, eating this idea, getting people excited about it, getting customers excited about it, employees excited about it. So if you're not excited about it, you're probably not going to succeed, because it is a slog, and you have to be the person who is getting everybody else very energized about that vision.
We're about to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Jennifer about all of your leadership philosophies and how you and your partner, how you've built the company to become a market leader. Back in a few.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
We can all agree these are troubled times, right? So do you know who's on your wireless network? Whether it's a big company selling your data or a foreign hacker, if you're not protected, everybody sees your information. That's why you need Flash Routers, a custom Wi-Fi router created for privacy. Flash Routers uses a virtual private network, or VPN, to protect your online activity from hackers, trackers, and large corporations. And not just one, but all your devices with one out-of-the-box setup. Plus, Flash Routers also enhances your wireless network performance and unlocks powerful router management tools to let you take total control of your network. Call or click Flash Routers today at 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. That's 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. Protect your wireless home network today with Flash Routers.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
How would you like to hit the range tomorrow with a brand new gun? Because the United States Concealed Carry Association wants to give you a free gun right now. That's right, completely free. The USCCA is here to give every responsibly armed American the education, training, legal, and financial protection they need. And today, they're giving you not one, but four free chances to win $1,000. Simply text GCN to 87222 to get entered now, and you'll get four free chances to win $1,000 for any gun you want. Text GCN to 87222 and get entered today. But remember, these free guns won't be around forever, and you can't win if you don't enter. So don't miss out. Just text GCN to 87222 and get your four free chances to win now. That's GCN to 87222.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Jennifer Fitzgerald, who is the co-founder and CEO of Policy Genius. This is the largest insurance marketplace in America, and frankly, it was started in 2014. You've been in like the Peace Corps. You're actually a stand-up comedian before that. The winner of Trivial Pursuit, like, not Trivial Pursuit?
The New York City Trivia League. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So, so you've all these things. Then you worked for McKinsey. You started the company. We heard that you have to have passion.
Mm-hmm.
How do you grow it from two people to become an industry leader? Walk through your whole leadership advice.
Sure. So the in terms of the journey, right, and the muscles it takes to build a company from an idea are very different from the muscles it takes to lead a company at scale. And this is something that I'm learning every day. Basically, every day I wake up so far is the biggest company I've ever led. So I'm still learning this. But in the early days, it's really around solving the right problem and building either the product or the service that's going to solve that problem for customers, right? So in venture capital parlance, this is called product market fit. So build the right product for the market and make sure that there's fit, right? So if you do that, and that's harder than it sounds, then it's all about distribution. How are you going to get this?
Do you test it out? Or
you
what?
Do. You test it out. So in the early days, you can test it even just on pieces of paper. So our early prototypes of the website, we created on PowerPoint, because if there was one thing that we knew as ex-management consultants is how to make slides. So, you know, rather than, you know, spending the money to hire a digital product designer and developers, we did initial prototypes on PowerPoint. And we got those in front of consumers, and we said, pretend this is a screen that you're clicking on. Talk to us about what you're seeing. Give us feedback on it. Once we had a good enough read from, like, the super low-fidelity PowerPoint slides, then you move into a digital experience. So the philosophy around digital specifically is you want to de-risk as much as possible up front. So the analogy from like carpentry is like measure twice, cut once, because mm-hmm. Cutting is expensive and wood's expensive. The same thing with software development time. You want to de-risk as much as possible. So do your consumer research. Test it in the cheapest way possible, even if that's just on like literal printouts of pieces of paper. Once you have enough qualitative and quantitative data to suggest that the experience or the product or whatever it is that you're building is the right fit for the market, then you build and then you launch, right? And then after that, it really is kind of a war in the trenches for distribution. Digital advertising is tough and expensive. The algorithms in Google and Facebook are changing constantly. Partnerships can be a very long sales cycle. So most startups who get out of the build a product phase will live and die by distribution. And it's so hard during the early days, especially if you are in a crowded vertical like financial services. There's a lot vying out there for customer attention.
And how do you find the right team, hire the right team, and, you know, then you see your role completely changing?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the early days, it's probably the hardest because you have nothing, right? You don't have a brand. Nobody knows who you are.
Good name, Policy Genius.
We had a good name, but that was it, right? So you had two first-time founders and the website.
Policygenius.com.
So it's really around painting a vision and an opportunity that gets those initial folks excited. Over time, the nature of the people that you need are going to change. So in the early days, what you need are generally generalists, right? So people who can wear multiple hats because things are going to be changing every day. You'll be doing everything from building the financial model to taking out the trash in the office, right? So you want to hire all-around athletes and generalists who can wear a lot of different hats. As you get bigger, then you need specialists, right? You need security engineers. You need people who know online advertising. So then you have to be good at understanding how to plan the org, what, you know, the profiles and attributes that you're going to need, because in the early days when it's just trench warfare, you need a different skill set than the bigger days when it's around scaling and execution. One of my favorite books that I read, and a good friend of mine who I worked with at McKinsey is at this firm, GH Smart. So they do a lot of actually CEO and exec searches for, mm-hmm. for companies. And they published a book a few years ago called Who? So the Method for Hiring A Players. And it's really great, full of tactical advice, and you know, a lot of data that shows making the wrong hire, especially at the executive level, can basically create a 10x their salary in terms of mistake, right? Because
wow.
Recruiting, hiring, onboarding, and then offboarding, if you make the wrong hire, is just very disruptive. And anybody who's done executive hiring knows how tough it is to get it right and how expensive it is if you get it wrong. So we, and one of our first hires that we made was our head of HR and people, who was very experienced in this. So we were very intentional in thinking about how do we make a very efficient recruiting process that increases the likelihood that we hire the right person for the right role. And it's really around like being very deliberate about what the scope of the role is going to be. What's the, I think in that book they call it the mission statement for the role, mm-hmm. right? Like what's success going to look like? And if you work backward from that, it'll lead you to say, okay, this person needs to be doing this, not that. And then how to tease out the fit in the interview process, right? What do you ask in reference calls? What do you do up front?
Any specific questions that really work?
So the big one up front is around alignment for the day-to-day and get mm-hmm. specific, right? So I think one of the things that we have found is people who've only ever worked at big companies, that day-to-day looks different than at a company at our stage, right? So what I like to do is I dig into how are you spending your day-to-day. What, like, walk me through your calendar and what you're doing.
That's a great question.
Right. Because what you'll find is if that person is largely navigating bureaucracy, like going to meetings, managing stakeholders.
It's not for you.
It's not for us at this stage, right? Like,
and does this change in you're a digital company. Mm-hmm. Does this change in hiring digital people or not?
No, because it's the same, right? Because we have multiple functions in our company. We have HR, we have finance, you know, we have marketing. So we have digital and traditional functions. What matters is the scale at which we operate. So I like to say, particularly for leaders, you have to be able to operate at the 10,000 foot level and the 10 foot level and navigate between those levels, right? And it's a tough skill to have, and not everybody's been at those different levels, but it's absolutely critical for a company at our stage.
Talk about the future of Policy Genius.
The future of Policy Genius is growth. Because if you think about the needs that this market has, especially as they get older, there's no shortage of it, right? So we've tackled insurance, which we thought was the biggest opportunity, but you know they're always asking us to do more for them because we deliver a great experience. So help me figure out the right 529 plan for my child, or what should I do now that I'm getting a bonus at work, right? Should I buy more life insurance? Should
it's
I do something
question.
Else? Yeah.
Your people are going to have changing needs.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be going with those people? Or are you still going to be focusing on the 30 to 35-year-olds? Or are you going to do both?
We're going to do both.
Well, Jennifer, it is a real pleasure having you on the CEO show. Everyone that's policy.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.